you think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory.
Oh, man, it got heated on Twitter yesterday with Tom Brady. About Tom Brady saying two champions versus a scientist and a Jeopardy host.
Wow.
Woo. To which a fan responded to say, hey, Tom, how does it feel to throw three picks in an NFC championship game and still win because your defense is great?
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to get nasty. And Aaron Rodgers is going to quit.
No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's going to get his feelings hurt, and he's going to say, you know what? I'm not going to show. You guys need to get another quarterback in this. Somebody else is going to have to play because this is too much for me. I can't handle this.
I don't think so.
Oh, he's playing the ukulele.
I'm seeing pictures of him. Look at that beautiful picture of him in Hawaii with his fiance and Miles Teller and Miles Teller's wife. They're all wearing bathing suits and singing songs.
All this to do over nothing when he's back with the Packers in the fall, playing for Green Bay. All this talk and all this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. He'll be in that first huddle for the first game. I'm gonna put that at probably 85%, Zay, on this day, on this buck off Thursday. Aaron Rodgers, 85%. He'll be right back with the Green Bay Packers. And his teammates will say, oh, we knew this all the time. We knew he was coming back.
I still don't know if I can predict that with you. I still don't know what the Packers are going to do.
I want you to get on board this.
Well, my assumption will be he'll be back. I don't think he wants to retire. Is his point made? And it does feel like he still wants to be out of there, but it's up to the Packers to move him. And will someone offer something to the Packers that would make it justifiable on the Packers' side becomes a question, too. But I don't think he backs out of this golf. He's in.
Oh, no, this is too much. You can't be heckling him.
It's coming up July 6th. They're going to Montana. Montana.
He's going to stay right there in Hawaii. Yeah. With his buddies and his buddies.
I'll say again, buck on to couples dates, couples vacations. I'm all in on those. Couples vacations are fun. Because, there's stuff my wife wants to go do that I don't want to go do. She can go, she have a partner. I'm saying the other way, right? That's a good thing. Couples vacations are good. You were kind of frowning, but Zay don't like them at all. Zay is not married yet, though, but he'll learn that if you're going, we're planning one in Chicago this summer. We're going to do with some friends of ours in Onion Creek.
I'm okay with couples dinners. And things like that.
Oh, sure.
I'm not really down, like the Texas Cheaters. I love their wives and stuff, but I'm not down with couples, three, four nights. That's not going to work for me. I'm not that friendly. maybe that's what it is. I'm serious because I know me. I know there's a time within three or four days that I'm going to be frowned and be upset that, when are we leaving? When are we going? I'm done with these people.
You can't just go with any couple. You got to go with the couple that you're friendly with, like real friendly
I'm
with.
I'm friendly with a lot of people, but not overnight stays for three, 4 days.
We will have different.
Where you get to go with your wife for a day. Sure. And we're not hanging out with the couple.
Yeah, the friends who are going with us, they've never been to Chicago, and they were planning to go anyhow. So yeah. we'll just do dinner with them. Maybe we'll show them some things we know about Chicago.
Go.
They'll be at
Thank
their
you.
Own hotel. We'll be at our own place.
But I'm not talking about couples vacay without kids. Couples vacays with kids are cool. I've done that before. I've done that with coaches and their families
like
going to vacations.
If you're going to like Mexico
fishing.
With like eight couples, that's fun. Playing golf, pooling, but you go back to your own place. You got your own time.
I can do that.
Okay.
But me, my wife, and like what you call best friends for like 4 or 5 days, I'm not doing that. Because I'm going to get pissed at somebody within that.
Well, that's what Aaron Rodgers is doing. He's with
right, Zay. Are you
going to
get? You can do that, right? For going out to dinner and stuff. Or if you had a bunch of kids, you could go for a week. But I can't go just with another couple for like 3 or 4 days. Somebody is going to be annoyed at me.
Yeah,
going to be annoying.
Yeah, I'm high maintenance too, Buck. Like the bed has to be right. Everything has to be right. If I don't get a good night's sleep. And that ruins me.
You're cranky the
whole day. And I'm probably not going to get a good night's sleep because I'm sleeping in the bed that's not mine. And I know that mentally, messes up my psyche.
Remind you about that one.
Make this note. Never travel with Bucky or Isaiah.
Oh, no, you've traveled with me, so you know I'm
you
okay.
Bring snacks. You bring licorice.
I come prepared. I bring my own stuff. I don't have to worry about going to the store. I stop for all my Twizzlers and everything else.
I show up and there's like a bag of like candies and things.
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
By the way, Miles Teller, the actor, is from Downingtown, Pennsylvania, but he's a big Eagles fan. Big Eagles, Sixers. He's all fired up about the Sixers, and I'm sure talking smack to Aaron Rodgers while they're out there in Hawaii.
Close to Philly.
Close to Philly, yeah. Okay, so we got stuff. We got things.
A lot of stuff.
Let's get to the headlines. Trending topics, including a surprise party at the Big 12 tournament for the Texas Longhorns yesterday. Top Gun, Lawn and Equipment Rentals bring you the news. And yeah, West Virginia left-hander Jackson Wolf outpitched the Big 12 Pitcher of the Year yesterday. Texas A's Ty Madden, as the 8th seed of West Virginia Mountaineers, outplayed really Texas en route to a 5-1 win in the first round of that double elimination tournament at Bricktown Ballpark. Both starting pitchers are likely first-round draft picks in this summer's MLB draft, but it was the 6-7 lefty Wolf who delivered a 138-pitch complete Game 5 hitter. Longhorns' only run came on an Eric Kennedy solo homer in the 6th. Madden, the Big 12's Pitcher of the Year, as we mentioned, not bad. He allowed 3 runs and 6 2/3 of work. Did give up a solo homer in the 1st, and then 2 more pushed across in the 5th, one on a wild pitch. But more than enough for the Mountaineers, as Texas managed just that one solo homer. And David Pierce talked about the opportunities missed in offensively in the game.
Yeah, I mean, I just didn't feel like it was a bunt situation most of the night because we were down by 2 and the type of guys that were coming to the plate with a great day to hit. So, you know, we just didn't execute and get it done. We got to win tomorrow if we want to stick around and figure it out on Friday. So that's the first task we got to deal with, and got to be ready to play tomorrow.
Tomorrow is today. The Longhorns will play 12:30 in an elimination game against the Oklahoma Sooners. Sooners were defeated last night by Oklahoma State 9-5 in the Bedlam game. So they're Oklahoma State into the winner's bracket, where they'll face West Virginia. Texas in the losers against Oklahoma. Also in the losers bracket this morning, 9 a.m., Baylor will meet Kansas State. That's because Texas Tech rolled Baylor 11-4. TCU walked off a win over K-State 7-6. So the winner's bracket games will be Texas Tech facing TCU this afternoon, as we mentioned, Oklahoma State and West Virginia tonight. Longhorns 12:30, Tristan Stevens on the mound. You'll hear it right here on the Horn. Major League Baseball last night, Astros snap a 4-game losing streak and finally post a victory against the tough right-hander Trevor Bauer at Minute Maid Park. Carlos Correa, Jose Altuve, Aledmys Diaz all homered. That pushes Houston past the LA Dodgers 5-2. They're in a split in that quick 2-game interleague series. Bauer had been 8-0 lifetime against Houston before last night. In Anaheim, Angels built a 9-1 lead early over the Rangers. Rangers rallied all the way back, made it 9-8. But the Halos held on. They sweep that 2-game series there. NBA playoffs last night, 3 games and a couple of good ones. How about the game in Utah last night? Jazz, the top seed in the West, rebounded from their Game 1 loss to Memphis, beat them 141-129. Donovan Mitchell, 25 off his coming back from his injured ankle. And it was a 47-point night in the losing effort for Ja Morant. But what a player he is. Early game last night saw the Knicks rally from 13 down in the second half to beat Atlanta. Even that series at 1 each, 101-92. The final, Derrick Rose had 26. And the top seed of Philadelphia 76ers, no trouble at all with Washington. They beat the Wizards 120-95, 2-0 series lead now.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. It's time to get those spring projects done, Austin. Come to Top Gun this month to rent, buy, or repair the equipment you need to do it. TopGun.net. We'll shoot you straight.
Oh, I didn't tell you the story of yesterday coming back from playing golf with the Texas Cheaters at Slick Rock up at Horseshoe Bay on the way back on Highway 71. And just before, and it took a while to play yesterday. It was slow. It was hot. It was humid.
Ugh.
I'm old. Takes me a long time to get back to the cart, or if I'm pretending like I want to get a little exercise and walk to the ball that's like 300 yards away, takes me about 12 minutes to get back from that walk. So on the way
Hold on, when do you hit a ball 300 yards away?
Oh, no, I mean...
I'm kidding.
That's true. So I'm coming back, and so we're coming back in the car, and I'm with Steve, one of the Texas Cheaters. You know, he sells vagina instruments.
Yes, he does.
Yes, that's what he does for a living. He dresses like a doctor, but he sells...
Like sex toys?
No, not that.
Oh.
Like when you have to check stuff like that for those doctors. So he sells those instruments.
Professional instruments.
Yeah, professional instruments, not toyful instruments.
Toyful.
So on the way back, it's getting crowded there on Highway 71 just before you hit Hamilton Pool Road, little intersection there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's jammed. So he and I were looking up, and there's a car, and we can see it for about a mile away. There's a truck, and people are going inside of it. They're going around it. They can't go around it to the left because the left lane is just jammed. So they're going around this truck and going around this truck, and we get closer and closer, and the flashers aren't on. And I said to Steve, I said, I hope this is not a female, that all these people are going around, and she's stuck there, and nobody's helping her. They're just going around. They're not even blinking. They're just going around her. They're trying to get home from work and everything. I said, this stinks if this is a young lady in a car, that none of these dudes are going to, because they're going to be embarrassed because people are going to blow the horn. So we get up next to it, and there's this dude, and he's out. He's either had a heart attack, or he's drunk, or he's had a stroke. And I said, Steve, what are we going to do? We need to get out. And I know everybody's going to just start screaming because now we'll have two lanes blocked up at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. They're going to yell at us.
We'll get behind him.
Well, we got beside it. We were right beside it. So I said, okay, we got to do. Steve is like, let's do something. So I'm going to open up the door, and dude wakes up. He has been asleep. He fell asleep. He fell asleep.
You know, 5 o'clock traffic.
When the traffic had stopped, you've done that almost kind of dozed off before, have you? Never dozed off for a second there? Dude, the light must have gone 10 times because I could see him for like 2 miles back. And the guy kind of wakes up and he goes on. And I'm like, this guy is asleep in his car. He looks dead. I mean, he's mouth open, laid back. We're getting ready to go in there. I'm going to call 911. I'm going to bang on the window. And this man is asleep. He is knocked out, Zay. I mean, out like a light. He had fallen asleep. He didn't have a heart attack. Dude just took a little snoozer.
It's hot out there.
Stayed. Because I thought it was a bad-looking truck. This is a Cadillac Escalade truck or whatever those things are.
Long day.
Damn, dude. Get some rest at home. Not in the right-hand lane.
Only time that's happened, I was in college, but I was back home in Houston. I think it was after my, I don't know when it was, but, and then there was a night of some partying,
sure.
You know, and as you will in college, and
yes.
Was up early the next morning, and I was downtown. My dad worked downtown, so I had driven downtown, and I was still, you know, a little tired from the night before, and it was, you know, it was downtown, but there was no one. It was real early in the morning, so it was kind of empty.
You mean when the cops tap on your window?
Or no, when the cops, I was sitting at a
Burger
light.
King Park and drive-thru?
No, literally, I was sitting at a light in downtown Houston, like doze off, and a homeless guy started banging on my windshield.
Come on.
Yeah, well, because there was no one around. It was early morning, and I'm like not even awake yet, and he bangs on it.
Hey, light's green. Oh, my God.
Scared the hell out of me. I'm like, oh, shoot.
Somebody says, hey, probably diabetes. That's not nice. He was a heavier set gentleman.
Now, this says,
but his mouth
drunk.
Was open. I don't know if he was drunk. He snapped to it, though, and went through the next light.
Caught a good nap. Did anybody honk at him to wake him up or something?
Sure. No, there was no horns blowing. They were going inside lane, grass.
They were just trying to get home.
People were just trying to get home. What if the guy was dead? I mean, shouldn't somebody have gotten out of their car?
I think you did the right thing.
Well, I was thinking it was going to be a female, and this was really, come on, guys, help this lady push the car over or something. But it's a dude. Hey, dude, wake up.
Wake up, bro.
Go home.
So that's funny because we had at Onion Creek at the golf club yesterday where I live, there was an incident where someone messed up big time in the middle of the night, stole mm-hmm. an F-150, an extended white bed, decided to try to drive the truck down the cart path at some level from Onion Creek and ended up, if you've ever been to Onion Creek, Buck, at the original between 16 and 17 where there's the low water crossing at Onion Creek on the original holes, there's like a little water crossing.
Yeah.
And where it's really a cart path. And this dude all hopped up, tried to drive over it.
That doesn't fit.
And ended up rolling the truck into Onion Creek.
A little half-deep section there.
Yeah. And it rolled all the way up over top, so it was sitting on its wheels in the creek. And apparently the guy got out and ended up trying to break into other cars. It was a mess the other morning.
Just a maniac going crazy?
Yeah.
We probably need to shut this down again.
He is in
custody.
For
another year and a half or so.
He is in custody now. Because he broke into a house. Like someone left their doors unlocked and he broke in. And that's how they caught the knucklehead.
Zay, you noticed this?
Degenerate.
That when we let him out after a year and 15 months or so, what happens to him? It probably need to lock this thing back up again another 6 months so we get used to this.
Well, Ryan, the superintendent at Onion Creek, got over there and the truck was still running. You know, like still, I mean, they had to get that thing out of there somehow, get a tow truck
how
in there.
It's hard to get
know.
To that spot.
That's an engineering marvel. They got it out of there. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, people. Time to lock you down for another couple
what
months
a
here.
A mess that was yesterday at Onion Creek. But it sounds like a mess for you out on 71. Hey, stay awake at the wheel. It's Memorial Day weekend. Can we pay attention out there for crying out loud? And come on.
That dude was probably drunk, too.
That was the report that he was. Because once he rolled the truck, he got out and climbed up to the neighborhood and tried breaking into cars and trying to get another car. Yeah, it's like, what's going on here? Poncho, let's not...
This is not diabetes.
Lefty?
This is not weed. It was something worse than that, I think. Meth head running around.
Fortunately, no one was injured, but and they caught him. He's apprehended. He is now cuffed and stuffed. Thank goodness.
Man.
All right, so good stuff there. Good stories. And don't travel with Zay. That's what we've learned in the first part of this program.
No.
Needs a comfortable bed, or he's grumpy. Sometimes. But no. Looking forward to whatever you're doing this weekend. For a lot of folks, I know today will be getaway day on a Thursday and take the four-day weekend, but we'll be here tomorrow. Buck, so let me mention Big 12 baseball. By the way, bottom of the hour, we're going to check in for the first time in a while with our buddy Mike Craven of the Austin American Statesman, talking about this Austin FC four-game losing streak, what's going on with FC, plus some other issues with Mike. It's good to hear from him, and we'll chat with him. But, Buck, the NBA last night was good. What about the resurgence, of Derrick Rose? I mean, I know in the regular season it was cool, and look, Derrick Rose is back. How about him last night? I mean, it was really about Julius Randle coming alive in the second half after a terrible first half for the Knicks. But Derrick Rose, the reclamation project, that's cool.
Yeah, that might be the best in-season trade of the year because he was with Detroit, and then the Knicks made a move for him, and they picked him up, and he's been one of the key, you know, players on their team to their success. And
Zay would've, should've, could've, maybes. If that guy would've stayed healthy, if that knee didn't happen, Hall of Famer probably.
Oh, no question. No question. His MVP year is still one of the best point guard seasons I've ever seen.
D. Rose, man, he was explosive coming out of Memphis.
He's got some of his explosion back, right?
Yeah, no, he had some alley-oops last night. I mean, that Knicks team is fun. That's, I guess, probably the most fun series of the first round so far. I mean, it's been highly entertaining. There's smack talk going on. Knicks fans are all, you know, going crazy. I thought the Heat-Bucks series was going to be that way, but, you know, first game was an overtime thriller. The second game was all Bucks. I mean, they just crushed the Heat. We'll see if the Heat can come back. But that one looks like it's going a long way, 1-1 now. And then, boy, I don't know how long Memphis can hang around with Utah, but I hope so, because Ja Morant is worth the price of your free admission on television. That guy is awesome. You made the comparison the other day where he's like a little taller Allen Iverson, and I agree with you. You know, since his days at Murray State and as the number two pick behind Zion, he is electric. 47 points last night in a losing effort, but he got – I mean, he's just – I mean, when you say Iverson, he's got that like 42, 43-inch vertical leap. Mm-hmm. But he brings, you know, Iverson was just a scorer, right? This guy brings absolute point guard savvy and the point guard skills. He's scary for the league for the long haul.
And as I said, and I think Zay said it best, he knows how to slow himself down. When I look at other guys that maybe not as tall as he are, but when the little guy plays in the NBA, he's always falling down. He gets knocked down, and rightfully so, off of his feet. This guy seems to land like a cat on his feet when he's up high. I don't know how he does it. I'm like, he's going to hit the ground and not be on balance. He comes down like a cat, Zay. He's special because he takes big hits when he goes in because he's not afraid to go with the bigs or even the big, you know, the guys that play the three position. So they bang into him. I'm like, he's going to hit the floor because he wants a foul. He doesn't mind the contact, and then he lands on his feet like, okay, I'll be back again down the court again. I don't know how he does it, but you said he slows himself down. When he's in the air?
The Matrix.
Yeah, when he's in the air, when he's on the ground making moves, you know, he makes crossovers, you know, in places where you wouldn't think a crossover mm-hmm. should be made. Like, in the paint, he'll make this drop dribble move that's kind of the new thing in the NBA. If you could get this move down, then you're pretty much unstoppable. But he does it better than anyone in the league. And his float game, you talked about the Tony Parker school that Ben Simmons should be going to. Ja Morant went to Tony Parker's floater school probably at least two or three times
really?
If he could, because that floater is automatic. And, you know, he's a pass-first point guard, which is nuts because the man dropped 47 last night.
Yeah, and he's feeling himself right now, coming into his own, his first trip into the playoffs, and not the last. I mean, Memphis is built to build around him. They're going to be good for the long haul. But, yeah, like Iverson, that's what you remember about Iverson, right? The explosiveness but the body control. I mean, just the quick leaping ability.
Yeah, but the little guys end up on the floor.
Yeah, he doesn't. Yeah, like a cat, you're right. He doesn't enter. He keeps his balance.
How does he do that?
And Iverson was that way for me, just because he could leap so quickly. That's how you dunk on big guys. You go up higher, quicker than they do. He tried on Rudy Gobert last night.
Rudy said, we're not having that.
He got rejected.
We're not having that tonight.
But I give him credit for trying, because he wasn't intimidated by the defensive player of the year on a few occasions. Went right at him. So, like that game last night. Sixers with no trouble, but Russell Westbrook, you know, uncalled for, a fan dumped popcorn on him, and he had already been injured, and he was getting beat, so, you know, he He lost it a little bit, rightfully so. But ugly situation there in the NBA. Wasn't good for Texas baseball yesterday. We'll hear more on the loss from David Pierce and our Craig Way report coming up. But clearly, Buck, have to play sharper than they did yesterday.
There's no doubt.
I mean, they made their mistakes and ran themselves out of some innings. But you got to give Jackson Wolf credit for going to the mound for his team and delivering a complete game performance when they needed it. You knew West Virginia didn't want to go to their bullpen. They had wasted it the night before in a game against Kansas to get into that game. And that kid just kept going out there and threw 140 pitches. And that's a kid who's going to be a number one draft pick, Buck, a first rounder. You know, saying, you know, he could have said, you know what, coach, got to be careful here. I'm going to be drafted here.
Yeah, well,
because the likelihood of West Virginia making the tournament, very, very low.
Yeah, and I would say this about Coach Pierce, that this he's not going to take this lightly. Last night he just talked about them, some of the mistakes they made. But he's not going down like, okay, forget about it. Let's just go ahead and go back home and regroup. I don't think that's going to – he doesn't want to lose two games in a row. He was nice enough about it post-game and stuff, but he's not happy about guys getting picked off this late in the season not knowing the fundamentals of the game.
No, that's just keep your head in the game. Game time and situation.
Yeah.
And just to finish up Jackson Wolf, I mean, literally, they're not going to make the tournament, right? Their season's over after this. And I mean, they have to win the Big 12 tournament to bank the field of 64. So when this tournament's over, they're done. There's a young guy who's going to be a first-round pick who said, you know, in this day and age of, you know, take care of me, coach, he
You're
said,
right.
You know what, I'll do it. I'm in. I want to win this game. And threw 140 pitches and you know, he wanted to beat Texas, who he beat the 6 days ago on that Thursday night game against Ty Madden. That's a competitor right there. Appreciated seeing that. All right, we come back. We'll talk a little Austin FC with Mike Craven. Also, we'll ask Mike a little bit. Of course, Mike has shifted beats. Remember, he was the Fab 55 and the high school football recruiter and covered that, but excited to move over and cover Austin's first professional sports team, Major League professional sports team. We'll talk to Mike about that decision, and so we can still ask him a little bit about this Jaden Blue decision down in Houston. Plus the soccer, Austin FC on a four-game skid headed to Seattle this weekend. It's B&E with you. David Pierce coming up in the Craig Way Report. Salacious gossip and your blitz, all part of a loaded Buck Off Thursday.
Drums, please.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Oh, man, it is a busy Thursday. Appreciate everybody being there. Buck Ons and Buck Offs. We got Salacious Gossip in the Blitz before the top of the hour. Craig Way has the Craig Way Report. More on that disappointing start to the Big 12 tournament for the Longhorns yesterday. Hear from David Pierce. Longhorns need to kick it in gear today. They play Oklahoma 12:30. You'll hear it here on the horn. You told the story of the guy that fell asleep in his car, Buck, on 71 yesterday, and you had to wake him up.
Yes.
Our man Dr. Greg Eckert texted and said, either drunk or most likely has really bad sleep apnea. Tell him to come see me.
I can understand. His mouth was wide open.
Sleep appliance.
His mouth was open, man, oh, man.
We also got several texts from a female on the text line. We labeled her female listener number 7, but she says she was like dying laughing in her car listening to those stories. She outed herself, said, I went to NASCAR at COTA this weekend, was there from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday. When I got back to my car, my windshield wiper was on, found out that I left the car running the entire day. It's like 7 hours the car ran. She said the car was locked. I couldn't believe that the car would lock it and leave it running when I walk away with the key fob.
That's a buckism there.
That is hilarious.
Can be done by me. Yeah.
I had a quarter tank of gas when I got to COTA. It was almost empty after the race, and she says she was there with a guy that she met online. And they were just beginning their dating. She says he's probably out now. She's like, this lady's a kook.
Damn.
That reminds me, on spring break one year, this girl locked her keys in her car with the car running at a parking lot. That took a while. I had to call the locksmith, and cars were running.
There was a time where I did that at least twice a year, where I would leave the keys in the car. That's why I got AAA. That's the only reason why I have AAA. It's for the locksmith to
come. Good investment. I like having AAA,
yeah.
Especially my kids traveling back and forth from Dallas and stuff. We just call AAA and get that done.
Love AAA.
Hey, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Great friend of the show. On our last conversation, he covered high school football recruiting for the Austin American Statesman. Now he's shifted over. He's covering the Austin FC, Austin's first professional major league sports team, and excited to talk to Mike Craven. Mike, how are you, bud?
Good, guys. How are y'all? Traded football for football, so I'm doing okay.
Talk about that decision and what went into it. That's interesting. Then you covered the high school sports for so long and did such a great job of it. What was the appeal for you to cover the fledgling FC?
You know, I've been kind of wanted to get away from recruiting a little bit. That can be a, that can be a tough grind of a beat. And the further I was getting in age away from the recruits, the harder it was getting. So moving away from that was nice. And somebody who was born and raised here, the chance to cover the first real professional team, top flight professional team in the city, was an opportunity I didn't want to pass up.
Well, let's get right to it there, Michael. This is a team that's going to play the best team in the MLS, and a team that's struggling right now in scoring goals and actually getting their offense going. And they're designated, the two designated players are just playing okay. When you think about it, it's nothing fantastic. They got those quick wins, but now they're struggling offensively. And what do you see?
Yeah, I think it's a couple things. One, you know, it's just hard to adjust to a new league. You know, those two designated players you're talking about are Spanish-speaking guys who are not only adjusting to a new league, but to a new country, a new city, a coach that doesn't speak much Spanish. And so I think if you look across Major League Soccer, it's a pretty common theme. Guys that are coming into the league from other places tend to take a little while to adjust. So I don't know if there's a ton of concern there. It's just this road trip, you know, 8 games on the road to start the season. They're not going to use that as an excuse publicly, but I've been flying every weekend too, and it's tiring. And I'm not the one running around for, you know, 7-8 miles a game or whatever once they're playing. So I think it's a combination of getting everyone together for the first time, a coach who is a head coach for the first time, 4 or 5 players in the starting 11 who are adjusting to a new league for the first time. And those same guys are adjusting to a whole nother country and a whole nother culture in the middle of a pandemic. There was the winter storm earlier. So, you know, I think it's just taken a little while to get going, and their legs are tired. And after this game and against Seattle, they get a weekend break. And I think that will be as much beneficial to them as not being on the road anymore. I think they just need some rest. I think they got some tired legs. They've had some injuries built up, and it's just getting harder and harder to be creative on the front end. It's harder to score goals than to stop goals, and we're seeing that in spades here.
You know, and Mike, the fact that they've, as you said, there are different guys coming from different countries. You know, language barriers are always a problem. You know, a lot of stuff gets lost in translation. Really, it really does. So, but when you look at some of the players that they have, the young kid that came from Virginia Tech, Danny Pereira, you know, last week was a real learning experience for him physically. Nashville moved him around off the ball a lot. He hadn't been that way in the first couple of games, and there's a possibility of his having an injury and not playing this week, along with Romano, who's the big, who looks like one of the fullbacks that I have, or bigger than the fullbacks I had coaching in college football. But to lose that strength in the back, and for, you know, hopefully Danny Pereira will get back in his game and over the next couple of weeks and get healthy. That's gonna be tough in that back end.
Yeah, and those are two guys who are playing a lot more soccer right now than they've been playing. Not only because of 2020 and the pandemic, but, you know, Romagna talked about not playing as much as he would have liked back in Colombia, and he was excited to be playing so much. He was one of the only guys who had played every minute. I think him and Brad Stuver were the only guys who had played every minute of every game going into that Nashville game. So I think just a lot of mileage on him. It looked like he was cramping from what we could tell. And then for Pereira, you're right. I mean, it's going from college to pros like that. He's always been the best player on the soccer field from high school to college. Now he's not, and that's a big adjustment. He's talked about kind of the pace of it and how quickly you need to make decisions and get the ball away from you. That Nashville game was the first time he looked just completely overwhelmed. And Nashville does that to people. That was the 4th straight game that Nashville shut out an opponent. So Austin FC, not the only one struggling to score against Nashville. And those two guys are very important. And those two guys are also two guys that are adjusting to a new league and a new coach. And, you know, 6-7 games in, I think there's just been a wall. And they need to get past that wall somehow. And, you know, I don't know if getting that week off will help more, or getting off the road trip come June 19th will help more. But you can tell that they're kind of just hitting the end of what they have in their tank right now.
Mike Craven is with us. Austin American Statesman covers the Austin FC beat, and Pereira, one of those high draft picks, young guy into the system. And those designated players, for folks who don't know, that's known as the David Beckham rule. Essentially, allows MLS franchises to sign up to 3 players who are outside their salary cap if they pay the transfer fee, and you can bring in those players from other leagues. And as we learn the designation and the lingo, how this works. What do you like about the team right now, Mike? You mentioned it's been a grind, but you know, for any sport, any team in any sport, to play 2 and and a half months, 3 months on the road to start a season is going to be a challenge. But what have you liked early that they can build on as they get through this road trip and start getting more home games and get more comfortable and acclimated?
I think the effort and the belief are there. They really like Josh Wolf and the system that they want to play. They want to play in this kind of positional, modern soccer. And the players like that. They get to move around the field. They get to be active. They like to play from the back and pass it around. There's a real system there. There's something tangible that they can look at and work on. And I think all the players enjoy that. That's not necessarily always true in Major League Soccer. And so, you know, I think there's a plan in place. There's a process in place. It's just going to take some time. You know, they don't have the biggest budget. I think they have the second lowest budget in Major League Soccer behind Vancouver. So, you know, it's an expansion franchise in every way. It's still a young roster. It's an inexperienced roster. It's not an expensive roster. So as they add more talent, more depth, you know, come the summer when the transfer window opens again, I think there's building blocks and a system in place to where when you add more quality, you can really start to see results. And, you know, again, you know, if they don't get that red card against Sporting Kansas City and they win that game and they have 9 points right now, you know, they're in playoff position despite playing every single game on the road. So I don't know if it's panic time. LA Galaxy, a really good team, and Austin FC didn't have their captain. Nashville, a really good team who shut out 3 opponents in a row leading into that game. You know, they get beat 1-0. They had a goal that got called back on VAR. I don't think they're that far away. The 3-game losing streak looks bad. I don't think they're as bad as it looks, just like I didn't think they were as good as they looked when they won 2 in a row. And so I think it's just about keeping a level head. And from talking to the players and talking to Josh Wolf, it seems like they all understand that. You know, they're athletes. Athletes understand that there's ups and downs more than the fans do. And so I think they're going to ride the wave. And I think once they get back home and can get some confidence under the belt, I think we still start to really see who this team is.
You know, the part is for people that don't know about soccer and fans that are just getting to learn this game and what they see is, you know, Josh Wolf is a first-time, you know, head coach, Michael, and he wants to do the things that he wants to do. He wants to play from the back third and start their offense back there because their goalkeeper can really – he's like an extra player with his feet. But what the fans see is they see now that this is a group that's now getting, as you say, worn out from being on the road. They're not as crisp with their players, with their passes from the back end. So they get a lot of stuff that gets intercepted now. And opportunities are coming on the other end for other teams. And now they're going to play the best team in the MLS. When they don't understand the game and development and what Josh Wolf wants to do, it's just kind of tough. You know what I'm saying? You're not getting as many chances. You're playing from the back end instead of being on the attack mode. And modern soccer is doing what he's doing. But what the fans don't understand is, damn it, it looks like you're playing all defense and no offense.
Yeah, and that's especially true these last 2 games. You know, the Galaxy and Nashville have really controlled Austin. And I don't know if it's tired legs. And it probably is some of that. I think that some of the other part is, you know, teams have film now. That first couple games, I think they had an idea of what Austin FC wanted to do and who the players are. But there's you know, you got a first-year head coach and half the guys have never played Major League Soccer. I think there was a little bit of a, you know, they took the lead by surprise. You know, now these teams and these coaches kind of have an idea of how they want to play, who they want to play through. And so they're starting to put pressure on those spots. And it's time for Austin FC to make adjustments to the adjustments. And that's true in every sport. You kind of have to adjust to the adjustments. And that's where they're at right now. I think that week off will give them a little bit of time to do that. They're up against a tough one this week. I mean, even if they were coming in here on a 3-game winning streak,
right,
this would be a tall task. So getting a draw in Seattle would be a miracle. Just showing up and playing well and keeping the confidence up, just not getting just crushed is probably the
right.
Probably the, you know, if you could give them some truth serum, you know, I think if they could come home with like a 2-1 loss or something, they wouldn't even feel that bad about it. So they just kind of have to hang on. You know, Kansas City is playing real well too, so I think they just have to hang on and try to get a point, maybe even steal a win before they get home. And then once they're at home and they have 17 out of their last I think, you know, 26 or something at home. I think that's when they really try to make a run.
Mike Craven, Austin FC, covering it for the Austin American Statesman. Mike, on our closing quickly, your previous life with recruiting, what are your thoughts on the Jaden Blue story, if you followed it at all? And do you think this is, because we've been asked this a million times now, is this going to become common that a senior will opt out and you know, miss his senior year of high school football?
Yeah, this one's a tough one for me. I'm generally on the, you know, let the players have their decisions. I get what he's saying. He's a running back. It's a, you know, it's a tough position to play. He's trying to take wear and tear off of his legs and be ready for college football. I mean, in theory, I get everything that he's saying. In practice, it just feels a little early. It does. It feels like you need to be around your teammates. You need to be a part of that culture. You need to be in the weight room. You need to be winning. You need to be losing. You need to be kind of suffering through that stuff. I don't know if that's just me being getting older and feeling that way and just having those opinions, but it does feel, because I totally get why guys skip bowl games and why, you know, Samuel Cosmi stopped playing after, you know, Texas didn't have a shot at the Big 12 stuff. I totally understand that stuff. You got to make your money. It just feels like this kind of seems like, you know, kind of getting out of team activities, thinking you're a little too big for that kind of stuff. And I just don't know if that's the messages that college coaches want in the ears of high school players. So it'll be interesting to see what Sarkisian and the staff does behind the scenes. If that recruitment opens up, I'd imagine some of that are conversations behind the scenes of kind of, is this kid in love with football? And if that's fair or not, I don't know. But I think those questions are going to come up because we just have not seen this happen as much in high school. And maybe in 5 or 10 years, we look back and we all feel silly for thinking of it that way. But that's the way it feels like on paper, that he kind of is trying to get out of the team activities. And when you're still in high school like that, you need to be as part of the team culture as you can, because that stuff carries over to college.
You would think, and coaches like Sark are caught between the supporting the high school coaches who need their players, and then obviously being on the player side too. It is a tough line to walk for sure. Mike, thanks so much. We'll do it more often. Great insights, and have a happy. Are you going to Seattle? Safe travels if you are.
I am. We're gonna go up there. I'm gonna enjoy it. So you guys be good.
Thank you, Michael.
Mike Craven headed to Seattle to see the FC face the Sounders on Sunday night. We'll check in with him in the future. We come back, load up the blitz. They've been excellent this week. Bug on to you people, bringing in entertaining and ridiculous blitzes. So bring that. We also have a little gossip as well. First, it's Craig Way.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
No games, just gossip. Brought to you by Bud Light. Boy, what a Bud Light weekend it's going to be. Steamy hot for sure, as it's been all week. Now that the rain has subsided, it's all about the humidity, so make sure you're hydrating ahead of it. Maybe you have a Bud Light and then a water, and then a Bud Light and then a water. But heard you talking, you're headed down to fish camp this weekend with the Texas Cheaters, huh?
Oh, boy, those seltzer things will be just sliding down their throats like nobody's business.
And you're amazed at how many beers those guys can drink.
I think that's for most guys that go to places like fish camp or go on golfing retreats and weekends, that they start out, and then every time you see them, they got something in their hands. And when they're 15 or 20 beers, and, you know, an hour number 8, you look at them, and they're still the same. You know what I'm saying?
You look at them, and they're like... professional drinker.
Yeah, they were like pros. I'm like, how is this possible? Now, they wouldn't be pros if they were doing the old Bucks treatment of straight-up Jack Daniels and a Bud Light Chaser. They would be in the water.
You can't
swimming with the fishes,
drinking the Boilermakers, whatever.
Just
those things
slamming them down.
Yeah. Oh man,
but they know how to pace themselves.
Of course they do. They're
my
professionals.
Problem, I did not know how to pace myself.
So that's brought to you by Bud Light. That's going to be a Bud Light weekend. So pace yourself, hydrate yourself. Whatever you're doing, headed out to the coast, the water, finding something,
someplace
to cool off.
Little Waterloo water.
Ooh, I love the Waterloo water.
Love Waterloo.
Listen, you got to love the Bud Light though. Only 4 great ingredients. The world's favorite light beer brings you the salacious gossip. Pick it up for your weekend. Be smart, please. Be safe through your Memorial Day weekend, please. Need you back here on Tuesday. All right, so we have your salacious gossip. Got to get the reset the Tom Brady smack talk yesterday. So you're into this now. Has Tom Brady done enough to push the envelope that now he and Tom and Phil Mickelson facing Aaron Rodgers and Bryson DeChambeau will pique your interest on July the 6th?
It does, because if you have 6 Super Bowls and you're the greatest player ever to play the game at your position, you can go ahead and be an instigator, you know what I mean, and enjoy it. This dude enjoys doing stuff like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
As I always thought about Tom Brady, it would be hard for Tom Brady just to be a regular guy, sit at a bar and have a drink with you. It just would be too hard because you'd be like, hey, you're Tom Brady. Do you know who you are? You're Tom Brady. He's, no, I want to be just a normal guy. Sorry, you can't. You're Tom Brady. You can't be a normal dude. So he's trying his best to be just an instigator. He's doing a great job. And the other quarterback, by the way, will go home before this is said and done. He won't show up at this event because he'll get his feelings hurt.
Aaron Rodgers will be there in Big Sky Country. He's in. He's committed.
Oh, why are you hurting my feelings?
By the way, he's committed to the Packers, but he doesn't want to play there either.
That's what I'm saying.
He's got a contract and everything. You know what I'm saying?
Why are you hurting my feelings?
Yeah, they kind of went after A-Rod yesterday.
Of course they did.
Because Tom Brady's like, hey, we know Aaron won't go for it.
He's the easiest one to pick on out of this whole group.
Yeah.
You think Phil cares? He's another instigator. He loves it.
How about this story from Salacious Gossip? Thinking of fights. So on Twitter recently, it was revealed that a guy found out that his girlfriend had cheated on him because, okay, so the guy's with the, got a girlfriend.
Got a girlfriend, yeah.
She has a one-night stand with another fella at their place. Okay?
Yeah. Where they both live together?
Apparently. He gets wind of this because I guess he got there and realized, wait a second, there's another dude involved here. This dude taped a note to the underside of the toilet seat, like on a post-it note.
Oh, and it's time to lift it up?
So she would never lift it up because she sits on it. He lifted it up, and there was a note that said, sorry to tell you like this, but I'd want you to know if I was you, sorry, bro.
Oh!
Because he felt bad. I feel this guy, you know, he felt bad. He didn't know. He just thought he was picking up this girl. She's got a dude. He realizes, wait a second.
And he hit it anyway?
Oh, yeah.
He knew that she had a dude?
Sure.
Really?
Before he left a note for the boyfriend.
Who do you get after? Do you get after her or do you get after him?
Her 100%.
Somebody's about to get it.
Her? Well, her. I mean, at least he let him know.
Oh, hey, thanks. Hey, thanks there, fella. Thanks for the Hey, you're a good guy. Thanks for the note.
You could have realized it, like, walked out before you...
Do you know my picture that was right there on the nightstand?
Oh,
when
no.
When you were just bang, 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 bang.
Wow. And now you say, sorry, bro.
Sorry. And now you say, sorry?
Yo, ain't that how Brad Pitt did Mike Tyson with Robin Givens?
Oh, I don't know that story.
We're going to get back to it.
I'm looking that up.
I need to know that story.
Interest peaked on Salacious Gossip.
I don't know that story.
What, did Mike Tyson kill him?
Supposedly.
He's still alive, Brad Pitt. Yeah,
supposedly he went in there, saw Brad and Robin, and Mike lost it.
Jeez, that would be a horror scene. Let's go to the Blitz.
Oh.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz, brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
Does Brad Pitt realize that Mike Tyson at any time could have some weird flashback?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just at any
time. Walking down the street.
54 years old, you see what he looks like now? All right, first Blitzer, you're up. Oh, topples up. Topples up. Speaking of bad flashbacks, what's up?
Toro, you're blanco. Fuck off, Toro.
Yeah, man.
I want to get this straight. Wolf doesn't speak Spanish? Did I hear that correctly?
Yes.
Very little. Very little.
The roster
very little.
Is Lima.
Yeah.
Jimenez. Pereira.
Yeah.
Peras. Hey, Wolf. There's Spanish for dummies. There's Spanish for white people. There's Rosetta Stone. Lower your tickets and I'll be there to help you out, dude. Winning is hard, man.
Gracias, senor. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Yeah, I've left a few sticky notes myself. This is Tim Duncan.
Oh, boy.
Sorry, bro.
That can of worms has opened up. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Buck and E went out last night, came in, and found a fat man in the bathtub. Bob Cole singing the blues, drinking Bucky's booze. He found that ring and tray in the closet. And E, he found the note talking toilet seat when he got to the bathroom.
Let's cut it out, you people. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
this wasn't going to be my bliss, man. But since you messed up and said Tom Brady has 6 Super Bowls, don't you ever disrespect him like that no more. Put some respect on his name. He's got 7.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Put some respect on his name.
Thank you very much. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Isn't that what the greatest American hero was recording Jordan Hicks doing? Bang, 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 bang.
Oh, my God.
People are awful.
Next Blitzer, you're up.
This is Jerry Jones. Hey, Davo, I left a note for you. My lawn needs cutting.
This is good. It's on fire. Thank you very much. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Pimpin! Pimpin!
What's up, Big Pimpin?
I don't know. Next caller.
What happened? Next Blitzer, you're up. We got a little stall. Next,
hey, y'all.
Yeah.
Buck off to you guys and your dubious explanation of UT's losses. Just call it last night what it was, an ass-kicking.
No, it wasn't an ass-kicking. It was a loss, for sure. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Iron Mike walking in on Robin Givens definitely was a hard thing.
Wow. I got to find
last
out more.
One.
Last one. Next Blitzer, you're up.
Buck and E.
What's up?
Say, man, is that a... ice cream truck Tavo be driving.
That's not his deal.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
Oh, my goodness. Man, oh, man, oh, man.
Nice
oh, man.
Job. Shut it down. Shut it down for a Thursday. Good work. Shut it down. That means we'll go to a timeout. We'll come back, continue these conversations and notes on toilet seats.
And Brad Pitt.
And Brad Pitt. And I don't know if we have dubious excuses for Texas. A good performance met an average performance or below average for Texas. And props to West Virginia. I bucked off the pitcher all morning long, or on the pitcher all morning. He was phenomenal. Texas didn't play their best. West Virginia played with more urgency, and that's why they've advanced to the winner's bracket. Longhorns need to play better today against Oklahoma at 12:30. We're back, live, local, and digital. Always streaming on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and you know it's at hornfm.com.